Lord, we thank you for the gospel message of salvation and the eternal life it brings us. Use that gospel in our hearts this morning. Let it dwell in us richly, strengthening our faith and helping us to serve as effective ambassadors for our Savior. Show us the opportunities you provide for sharing your life-giving word with family, friends, and acquaintances, and from there in an ever-widening circle to the ends of the earth as we work together with our fellow Christians. Seeing these opportunities, bless us with zeal, courage, and love for souls to act upon them. Bless us now in our worship together on this Mission Festival Sunday. Amen. And please note that the opening hymn is found on the tan insert, as is the third hymn today. Hymn 507 will also be on that same insert. Welcome to each of you to our worship service today on this special Mission Festival Service Sunday, as we focus upon the privilege the Lord has given to us as his disciples to share the gospel with all creation. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You follow the order of worship as you find it printed in your service bulletin. Dear fellow redeemed, let us come before our Lord with an open and truthful heart and confess all our sins before God with the confident trust that for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, he will grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor sinner, confess before you all my sins. I know that because of them, I do not deserve anything but punishment here in this life and forever in eternity. But I come to you this day truly sorry for my sins and confidently expecting your mercy for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ransom price for the whole world. For his sake, O Father, grant me forgiveness for all my sins. On the basis of this, your heartfelt confession of sins, I, as a called servant of the Lord, announce the gracious, forgiving love of God to all of you, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain standing for the first two stanzas of hymn 793. We pray, Almighty and merciful God, you've saved us through the redeeming work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now you call us to be witnesses of this good news. Inspire our witness so that all may know the power of Jesus' forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Shout with joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you.
They sing praise to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
How awesome his works in hands he hath.
Praise our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
He has preserved our lives.
And kept our feet from slipping.
May be seated. Good morning. First of our scriptures on this Mission Sunday is recorded in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here ends the first lesson. The choir members may now come forward for their song. Next lesson on this scripture from the Holy Scriptures on this Mission Fest we find recorded in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the so-called Great Commission of Jesus, which he gave to his disciples then and to us as people today, not long before ascending up into heaven, as he had spent 40 days in the midst of his disciples, showing himself alive as their risen Savior. We read it then in Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Here ends the second lesson. I invite you to stand now as we confess our Christian faith using Martin Luther's words from the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Next hymn is on the tan insert.
Spread the word, spread the name, thou one. Please remain seated. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to address you on this joint mission festival. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, have you looked at the theme of this morning's sermon? A reluctant missionary. Perhaps the theme strikes very close to home for you. You may think that I'm speaking about you specifically. Let's begin by examining the truth that because of our sinful nature, we are hesitant to speak the word of God to others. Our rationale may vary greatly. We may think that we cannot speak well, or that our knowledge of the word of God is lacking. We can arrive at many excuses of why we are not the right individual to do mission work, or maybe more appropriately, evangelism. I stand here this morning and acknowledge that I am a reluctant missionary. I believe that I'm looking out at a congregation of reluctant missionaries. Our degree of reluctance may vary. However, the degree of reluctance to speak the word of God to others doesn't matter, for any reluctancy still makes us a reluctant missionary. This morning I pray that I will encourage you through the word of God to see your reluctancy to be a missionary, and to understand that your reluctancy is unfounded. And to help us with this endeavor, we will consider that we do have a purpose and a message here on this earth. We'll approach our study by considering the Old Testament prophet Jonah, who is an example of a reluctant missionary. Now, please rise as I read for you the 8th and 9th verses of chapter 1 of Jonah, which states, "So the sailors asked Jonah, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He answered, 'I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.' May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us to make us willing missionaries. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." You may be seated. You may remember the account of Jonah and the great fish from Sunday school. To the world, the account is only a myth, because the word of God tells us very plainly that it is true. We accept it by faith that this account is factual. It's not a myth or an embellished story. With this foundation, we can consider everything in this account as being directly from our God. And therefore, let's consider the situation concerning Jonah as a reluctant missionary. The first verse of the book of Jonah begins by giving us some biographical information. Now, I'll be honest with you. We do also have to look to 2 Kings to find some of the information about Jonah. But we do know that Jonah is a prophet. He's a prophet to Israel during the time of Jeroboam II. This is a time of the beginning of great prosperity in both Israel and Judah. But sadly, it's also a time that begins the downturn spiritually. While serving as missionary prophet to Israel, the Lord calls him to be a missionary, to minister among the Assyrians. The Assyrians are one of the world powers of the day, but the Assyrians are also feared. They're very wicked and very cruel to their captives. His call by God is for him to go to Assyria, particularly to Nineveh, and call them to repentance. His response can be summarized as his unwillingness to proclaim the word of the Lord to the Assyrians in Nineveh. Jonah tells the Lord through his actions that he's not the right individual for this job. He gets on a ship at the nearest seaport that's sailing in the opposite direction of Nineveh. We can observe in Jonah many of the same tendencies that each one of us has about being a missionary. We often act as Jonah does when we're placed in similar situations. We believe that we are not the right choice to proclaim the word of God. As we continue to examine the book of Jonah, it becomes clear that his opinion is that the Assyrians are not worthy of God's forgiveness. And thus, the Assyrians don't deserve to hear the word of God. Now, that may not be our reason for not proclaiming the word of God. We come up with several other reasons for our reluctancy. Often our reasons are connected with our ability. Maybe we claim that we cannot publicly speak, or we lack knowledge in the Word of God. I don't think any of us would buy a ticket to go to the other side of the world to try to avoid a call of God. But rather, we may avoid the situation by simply remaining silent. Whatever our reason and reaction, we're really no different from Jonah in our reluctancy to be a missionary. All our reluctancy is because of our sinful flesh. Like Jonah, our sinful flesh tells us that we cannot do that work of proclaiming the word of God as a missionary. And although the truth is certainly found in that thought that we on our own cannot do the work of God of being a missionary, of proclaiming his word, God does give us guidance. He gives us a purpose. He namely gives us a calling to proclaim the word of God to others. What we often refer to as the Great Mission Command, or as I like to call it, the mission statement of the church, gives us that purpose. Pastor Schutze read that section of scripture for us as our second scripture lesson, where our Savior states to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. These very familiar words remind us that we have a calling. We have a purpose on this earth. That purpose is to proclaim the word of God to others. Not just to others, but to all people. It says all nations, young, old, men, women, all nationalities. Our purpose is far-reaching, for it's a worldwide call. Jonah's call is rather narrow, like a pastor's call. He is, first of all, called to be a prophet of God to Israel. But that call is extended. It's extended to proclaim to the Assyrians and Nineveh the word of God to call them to repentance. This purpose or call identifies us as believers, for we are the proclaimers of the word of God. In this morning's sermon text, the sailors ask Jonah his identity. Notice that they ask about his occupation. What do you do? And his origin. Who are your people? These are frequently asked questions for those of the world. And although Jonah identifies his origin as being a Hebrew, he also identifies himself as being a worshiper of the Lord. We too are identified as worshipers of the Lord because of our purpose, our calling to proclaim that word of God. As I return back to the words of our Savior to his disciples, we learn that our calling of proclaiming the word of God has a meaning. How do we do this? We proclaim his word by baptizing in the triune God and by teaching all that God has commanded. Namely, all that he's revealed in his word. Now, I'd be remiss if I were to just gloss over the rest of Jesus' words, because he makes two very important points, particularly for reluctant missionaries. He states that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. God, who calls us, has complete power. And thus, we are being called by the Almighty God to proclaim his word. Closing words of Jesus also give us comfort. Give us comfort because the one who called us to proclaim the word of God is also the one who promises to be with us always. This promise is also true when we're proclaiming the word of God, even to those who might be hostile towards the word of God. So we should not be reluctant, for the Almighty God is protecting us as we proclaim his word. And therefore, we do not need to be reluctant missionaries, for we have a call from the Almighty God, the Lord. Now, we have a purpose to proclaim the word of God. However, we often are reluctant, for we do not know what to say. This reason for not knowing what to say is a common reluctance in proclaiming the word of God. But notice the words of Jonah. I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Those are rather simple words. He simply states that he's a Hebrew. To the heathen, like the sailors, they know that a Hebrew is an individual of the people who have separated themselves because they're waiting for this promised Savior. His statement, "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land," shows that he fears the Lord, the God of salvation, the one who created the heavens and the earth. The statement of Jonah points to the natural knowledge of God, which is that knowledge that we see in nature because of creation, and we have written in our conscience. Jonah answers the inquiry of his identity with these words that testify of the Lord. Now, it's an academic question. Was Jonah intentionally confessing the Lord? Was that his intent in saying, "I am a worshiper"? If not, it really doesn't matter. Because the Holy Spirit uses those words to work faith in the hearts of the sailors. This conversion of the sailors is seen in them crying out to the Lord before throwing Jonah overboard. They ask, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." They're concerned about throwing Jonah overboard because they knew it meant certain death. But the Lord has other plans for Jonah. After throwing Jonah overboard, the sailors greatly fear the Lord, and they offer sacrifices to the Lord and make vows to him. And therefore, Jonah, an example of a reluctant missionary, is an illustration of the Holy Spirit using Jonah's words to bring the sailors to faith. We can be confident that God will also use the message that we are to proclaim. Remember, the message is not ours, it belongs to God. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador doesn't speak his own words, but the message of a king or a president. Similarly, we speak the words of the King of Kings, the God of salvation. If we are to proclaim the message from God, we need to receive the message that God wants us to proclaim. And God certainly sends us the message. The message that we find in his word, that we have in our Bibles. This reminds us of a few things. First thing, this reminds us to study the Word of God daily in our homes and in Bible class and our worship services. Second, we're reminded of the significant importance of being in the Word of God, and thus it should be our priority to study it. With our continual exposure to the Word of God, we are ready to proclaim it to others. This proclamation may not be a planned event, such as going door to door, as so many religious groups do in our day. Rather, the Lord places us so often in situations that gives us the opportunity to proclaim God's word. Opportunities such as a friend in distress because of the death in their family or a serious illness. May be God's plan for us to share his word with that friend. Notice Jonah's statement to the sailors is not a quotation from some portion of the Word of God, but a summary of the truth found in God's Word. Likewise, we don't need to quote some passage of Scripture, although it's very good to know passages of Scripture. Our words to that friend can simply be a summary of what the Word of God says. And even though our words of comfort are not direct quotations, just like Jonah, the Holy Spirit still does his work of conversion, as he did with those sailors. Remember, the words of our Lord. My word goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. The reminder is that the Lord simply calls us to proclaim the word of God and then leave the conversion to the Holy Spirit. For the word always accomplishes what God desires. This is the reason that although we invite others to join our worship services, the success of the proclamation of the gospel should not be measured by how many new members we have this year. Rather, the measure of success is that we proclaim the word of God, the message that God has given us. And therefore, the Lord is simply asking you to do one thing: proclaim his word, proclaim his message. Like Jonah, we are reluctant missionaries. However, our reluctancy can still be removed because the Lord has given us a purpose, which is to proclaim the word of God, as well as a message, which is the word from him. We have nothing to fear, because the Lord is always with us as we proclaim that message. The message is not ours, but belongs to God. Now, may you become missionaries who use the opportunities that the Lord places before you to proclaim his word. Amen. Please arise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
The offering will now be received, and as noted in your bulletin, this offering received at this service will be used to support the general fund of the Church of the Lutheran Confession, which helps to support the spreading of the gospel in both our domestic and our foreign fields, and also helps to operate our school in Eau Claire, Emmanuel High School, College, and Seminary. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, you've called the nations to your light and kings to your dawning brightness. In Jesus, your Son, you've given the light of your truth and salvation to this sin-darkened world so that all people may have life through his name. We cannot thank you enough for your boundless love and overwhelming goodness to us unworthy sinners. We thank you that we who by nature were trapped in the darkness of unbelief have been called to faith by the light of your forgiving love. We are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with saints and members of your household. Through your word and spirit, preserve our Christian faith so that we may continue to walk in the saving light of Jesus and offer him the treasure of our time and talents and the grateful, joyful service of our entire life. Bless your church everywhere that it is found in the world, all those gathered by your gospel light from every race, language, and culture. Grant that we may diligently carry out your command to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Bless our pastors and teachers and all others who are called into the public ministry of the word. Through their gospel witness, and through their equipping of your people for gospel witness, make your forgiveness and love manifest to all people. Help us to be reflectors of the light of Christ to people who are living near to us and far away. And Lord, we also ask your special blessing upon our missionaries who are serving in our foreign and domestic mission fields. Abide with them and protect them from danger. Grant success to their gospel witness, using your word of power to create, nurture, and sustain faith in the hearts of many. Bring the comfort of your forgiving love to bear upon all who are burdened by sadness, sorrow, and sin. Give them grace to cast all their cares upon you in the sure knowledge of your tender mercy and to find joy, hope, and victory in Jesus, their crucified and risen Savior. Now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the gift of your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hearty welcome to all of you to our service today, and what a blessing to be able to gather in this special event. And kind of a outside the box way, we to be determined. Maybe you could share with your pastors and feedback on, well, shall we continue this once a year Mission Fest jointly at a special time, like 11 a.m. But anyway, you can speak to your pastors about that. Feedback is desired. And do sign our guest book if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. And I look forward to also enjoying a lasagna meal after the service. You're all invited for that as well. Wanted to mention, too, a reminder to keep the Redolin family in your prayers. As you probably are aware, we originally had Pastor David Ryan scheduled to be our guest speaker, but his wife's mother passed away unexpectedly last Wednesday, and her funeral victory service is going to be held tomorrow at Emmanuel in Mankato. So it was for that reason that Pastor Ryan and his wife Julie were unable to be present with us today. So do keep the Redland family in your prayers, the Lord comforting them with the gospel in their hour of loss. Are there any other things to be mentioned at this time? Okay, blessings to you all.
Thank you.